It's crazy what you can manifest in your life. And so basically that was the turning point for me. And I ended up setting a date and leaving my corporate job. Everyone thought I was crazy. My family was like, are you nuts? You have a good job. Like, take the safe route, you know? And I was not, once for me, I'm a Sicilian Aries girl, very like driven.
Ooh, she's got the sass.
Yeah. So if you tell me like I can't do something, I'm like, all right, I'll show you. So.
Welcome back to the Millennial Boss Society podcast. I am your host, Claudia Contois, and I am so grateful that you guys are back to listen in. I feel like you have been through this journey, meeting the entrepreneurs, going through the ups and downs of the entrepreneur roller coaster journey with us. And today I have another beautiful success story for you guys. And her name is Jennifer Gallagher. And let me tell you this, this episode will rock your socks. If you love to know about the real deal of what is really going on behind the entrepreneurship, the real raw stories, you're going to feel like this episode is a treat, because we go deep and down and into it, into the grit of it all with Jen. And she tells us how she built her brand, which is called Carbon Conscious with a K and a C. She has this beautiful brand and she makes bamboo straws, which are totally organic, biodegradable, and reusable. So she's doing something right for the planet. And she will even share a little gift for you guys at the end of the episode. So you guys want to listen to it all. So let's jump into today's episode. And as always, make sure to take a screenshot of the episode and tag me on Instagram at Claudia Contois, ClaudiaContois. And tag me so I can share it in the stories. I love when you guys do that. So we're able to spread the word and have more and more and more incredible guests on and share you guys' stories, because entrepreneurship is a roller coaster and we all look into each other's stories to understand how success leaves clues. So without further ado, let's jump into today's story.
We have Jennifer Gallagher, and this girl is a boss babe with a capital B. She has an amazing story about how she went through things that are considered incredible circumstances, and she came out of it as a winner. She is the definition of what it is to build grit and not give up. And so today I'm bringing you Jennifer Gallagher because you have an amazing story.
Thank you so much. That was so sweet. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. It's so great to be here. So I quit my corporate job in 2015. I started, I actually had this six-figure corporate job. A lot of people were like, thought I was crazy, including my family. And other than my husband, he's always been like my rock and somebody that supported me. But I literally just couldn't take it anymore. So it was one of those things for anybody that's listening, that maybe you're in a position right now where you have a job that you're like, this is just not for me. Like, I caught myself on Sundays, I was upset that it was Monday. On Mondays, I couldn't wait for it to be Friday. And somebody gave me these CDs, and it was actually called Your Wish Is Your Command. I'm dating myself, CDs. Like, but that was in 2015. And actually, no, I got the CDs in 2014. And they were called Your Wish Is Your Command by Kevin Trudell. You can actually get them on YouTube for free. They're like a series of 13 CDs. And that was the beginning of my personal development journey. And she was like, knew I wasn't happy. I wanted this. I had been talking about starting my own activewear brand for 3 years. She's like, you need to listen to these. And so that job, I was actually in outside sales. So I was on the road a lot. And so I started listening to them and I was like, oh my gosh, like, what is going on? Like, what, this is what I've been missing. Cause I always had that feeling in my heart that there was, I was meant for more. I didn't come from a family of entrepreneurs. My parents were like, go to college, to get the 9 to 5, work your way up. You're a smart girl. You can work your way up the corporate ladder. And I tried to do that for a little while, but I did get jobs that I was unqualified for, but I literally unqualified, like, you know, in quotation marks, because I made it happen. Mm-hmm. But according to paper and what they wanted, I didn't have all the credentials, but I was very successful, but I was very unhappy. And I knew, I was like, there is more out there. So when I heard those CDs, it was like the beginning of the whole entrepreneur journey. I always tell the coworker that I had at the time, like, you literally changed my life. You do realize that. Wow. Like, yeah.
That's insane. The power of personal development is incredible.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know any of this stuff. Like, I didn't even really know who Tony Robbins was. Like, I'm embarrassed to say that, but that was like, that was in 2014. And yeah. Look at us now in 2019. I didn't know all these things. And now today I'm like, when people don't know who he is or Gary V, I'm like, what? You don't know?
Are you hiding under a rock?
Yeah, but I have to realize that I was at that place at one point too. Yeah. And it not, you know, entrepreneurship obviously isn't for everybody, but when you feel that itch, and there was something that he said in there that just really like ruffled my feathers. And I was like, I have got to stop doing this and just or stop talking about it. Just do it. Before I got that job, I was like in between jobs. I had gotten laid off, and so I was cocktail waitressing. And I was telling everybody I was starting my own activewear brand. I actually manifested the car that I bought, like without even realizing the power of manifestation at that time. Yeah, it was like when you start to look back and you think about the things that you manifested in your life. Like I look back at like my dog that I got when I was 10. It's crazy, but if you have to think about this, you're like, we really are really powerful. So I wanted this golden retriever. My parents didn't want me to have a puppy. So I got like a golden retriever mixed. She was a girl under a year old, and we found her at the pound. Like, what are the odds? It's not like I was, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So
it's crazy what you can manifest in your life. And so basically that was the turning point for me. And I ended up setting a date and leaving my corporate job. Everyone thought I was crazy. My family was like, are you nuts? You have a good job. Like, take the safe route, you know? And I was not, once for me, I'm a Sicilian Aries girl, very like driven.
Ooh, she's got the sass.
Yeah. So if you tell me like I can't do something, I'm like, all right, I'll show you. So that's what I did. And like, honestly, I'd be lying if I said it was easy. It was. So I left in January 2015 of my corporate job. And then 8 months later, I launched the brand. I had no intention on cashing in my 401k. I had savings that I thought was going to take me across to like launch. But
we always think that.
Oh, yeah. You always think like somebody told me, I'm like, they're like, how much money do you have to start? And I'm like $10,000 because I had saved that. And then I was about to get a tax return, which was going to be about another 10.
Okay,
and so, yeah, so they're like, oh, that's not really a lot to start a business. I'm like, yeah, for a clothing brand. And I was like, yes, it is. It's fine. Like, I was really great. The thing I didn't realize is I was about to make a lot of expensive mistakes that were going to cost me a lot. And
that's
so
that's what caused the most. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I remember because me too. Almost.
Yeah. You just don't know, right? You don't know until you get in. You're like green and you're like, it's not going to cost me that much, but it depends on what you're doing. But man, my first trip to, I worked with a pattern maker and sample maker in New York, and I ended up, I had no idea what I was doing. I remember like putting my headphones, like putting the earbuds in and listening to the song. It's called Conquer by the show Empire, which I never watched, but my aunt had told me about this song. Wow. And yeah, it's been my theme song ever since. So basically I put these, it basically talks about like, I'd rather stand tall than live on my knees. I'm a conqueror. I'm, you know, not everybody's going to see the vision, but I'm going to make it happen. And so I walked I walked into a subway for the first time. I was so nervous. And the first thing, you might laugh when I say this, but I was in New York and they're like, this way's Jamaica. I'm like, this subway takes me to Jamaica? And they're like,
I've never been in that subway, so I have no clue.
They're like, Jamaica, Queens, not Jamaica, like the Caribbean. And I was like, oh, okay. So I felt like so dumb at that point. And they're probably like, oh my God, this girl. So I like acted like a New Yorker, which they're like all fast paced and like walking in. And
yeah,
I go in there. I have like my stiletto heels, like ready to go in because I wanted to look fashionable. I'm going to talk to this like lady in fashion. But I had sneakers because that's what all the New Yorkers do. They like walk with sneakers and then they change. Yeah, they walk a lot. And it was kind of cold too. And so I walked in and literally like it was such an adventure. I literally had no idea what I was doing. It was a crash course. And within a period of about 48 hours, I had spent $3,000. And I literally like didn't end up using any of the samples. Or anything.
No way. That reminds me of their show. I don't know if you've ever watched this show. It like aired for one season. It was called How to Make It in America.
No.
And I haven't heard it. Oh, it was about this person who who wanted to start a jeans brand in New York. So you remind me so much of that show and like the grit and like the investments and the ups and downs. So like you, here you are, you quit your job and now you're like this designer. How do you see yourself in that moment?
I think it was a moment that was surreal. So I remember when she first took me to, or she first sent me to a fabric store. She's like, well, you need to find fabric to make the samples with. And I said, okay. And originally I had had intentions on doing one or two styles. And this is a good lesson for anybody that's just getting started, whether you're in the clothing or not, anything in business. Start small, get really good at it, and add on other things. Well, I got over inspired and ended up with like 13 samples. That's how I ended up spending all that money. And it was just, she kind of took advantage of me being naive. And so I remember walking into the fabric store and there was like ceiling to floor, like fabric. I had no idea what I was doing. And I almost walked out. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I was like, what did I just get myself into? Am I like crazy? Like, I knew nothing about this. And then I just had to take a deep breath. And I was like, Jennifer, you're here for a reason. Just start asking questions. And that's what I did. And the people while I was there, I was staying with my cousin who has an apartment in Manhattan. And while I was there for like a week, they knew me by first name. I went in there every day. I asked questions. I learned about the fabrics. And so, you know, regardless if I ended up using those samples or not, it was such a great, I call it my crash course in fashion design / business. Mm-hmm. And so it was a great feeling. And then later I ended up going with a manufacturer in Miami because I realized the expensive cost with like making clothes in New York. It was just insane.
Oh, wow. So you learned quick. And as you said it, like we were talking just before the podcast and you said one of your biggest strengths is resourcefulness. And that is it right here. I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs are afraid to ask, afraid to go outside and draw outside the lines. And so you're the example of what needs to be done, because what if you would have stayed in there and not even get 13 samples, but what if you got like 50? And what if you didn't go back and ask all these questions? You would have lost all of your savings, maybe go back to work, go back to square one. So it's really important to be like a straight A student, the annoying student that goes to the teacher and stays after class and does extra research and just don't settle for less. I love that. Mm-hmm.
That's such a good analogy because it's funny. Back in high school, I was one of those students.
Of course you were.
In algebra, I'll never forget in algebra. People like made fun of me because I asked so many questions. But then when it came time to like at the end where people were like borderline failing and I was making an A, they were like, will you tutor me like so that I can pass this class?
But isn't it funny how like the entrepreneur world, especially like the men's side, they're all like, oh, it's the C students that make it. It's the failing students, the dropouts. But it's like, no, here's a straight A student right here telling you how it is.
Like, yeah, I mean, so in high school, I was like A's and B's. But then when I went to college, I like failed two classes the first semester. My parents flipped. So I think it was like one of those things where high school was pretty easy to me. And then I did college for my parents. And I was like, oh, I don't really want to do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally get it. My mom knows too. Hi, mom.
Yeah. Hi. No, I actually, a time hop thing came up ironically today. It was 11 years ago and it was talking about like, oh, I have to study. I'm not looking forward to this. And I put it in my stories and I was like, I never liked college. I just did it to make my parents happy. Like it's the truth. God. I never really did. I did it, you know, just to make them happy. And then when I got out, I was like, what is all this? Like, but it was a good experience. So, but yeah, so like after that, I'll tell you, so basically like, fast forward, it was a lot of ups and downs, everything in between. And you talk about resourcefulness, like my husband and I like went back to New York at one point for like this meeting that we thought was going to change everything. It was actually, I can tell you who it was with. It was with Flywheel. Do you have a Flywheel in Canada?
What is that?
It's like a Soul Cycle, but it's similar to a Soul Cycle, like Spin Class, but it's Flywheel, which they're pretty big in the US.
Maybe like the other parts of Canada, but like people in Montreal, aka Quebec, like the province of Quebec, they're just like another world.
So yeah, so maybe they might not be international, I'm not sure, but like I know, so at one point my husband was helping me make cold calls and he made one and he got this appointment. I was like, how did you get that appointment? Like, and so this was actually, I'm fast forwarding a lot. So because there's a lot, you know, it was just a lot of ups and downs, grit and all that kind of stuff. And so basically, like, we were at almost at a rock bottom point, like we were about to lose everything. And he got this meeting. So we convinced my business mentor at the time to buy our plane tickets there. We stayed with my cousin in Manhattan. We sold a dresser so we would have enough money to eat. Like, that is the stuff we went through. Like, it was crazy.
Yes. Oh my God. But before you tell that story, I want you to tell your like, the story you told me before, when you told me like your entrepreneur journey, and it was so gut like wrenching. It was so like, I felt my heart was in your hands as you were telling me this story. Like, I want you to, because people need to understand what you've been through, because when we listen to entrepreneur stories, people are quick to be like, oh yeah, and then all of the rest happened, but they don't understand that part before it all unfolds. The part where you feel like the sky is falling down, the part where it's like, is it even worth it anymore? The part where you're just like looking and you're down on your knees crying in your bathroom and you're like, why am I even doing this to myself? Like, I should just go back, get a job and make it happen like everybody else. Like, why? Like, that moment right there, I feel like when I listen to stories, it's like, wow, it just gets you off your sofa and gets working.
Oh yeah. So I had made a lot of expensive mistakes, and I think with the story, I'm trying to remember exactly which one, because there's been a couple little things, but I'll tell you the thing that really like was like my rock bottom moment. And it was, so my husband was working in, so we were about to lose our home. We were behind on our mortgage. Like literally, like I was just like, we were paying our HOA because we were in a gated community because they were really strict, but you have a little time before they kick you out and lock your doors. So it was one of those things where we didn't tell any family because our family doesn't have a lot of money. Like, we didn't want to stress them out, and nobody really knew what was going on. My husband had lost his job that was sustaining us. So like, things started getting behind, our cell phones were getting cut off, our a day away from like electricity cut off, all that kind of stuff. We were literally eating pasta every day and like quinoa, because that was like all we could afford, counting things in the grocery store. And my husband actually ended up going across country and getting a job at Harvest at a winery. And that's kind of what started him into wine. And so he was like, you know, this is really what I want to do. Once he had gotten laid off and like figured all this stuff out, he was like, I'm going to try this, and at least it'll pay us. You know, we'll be able to keep it. It was a couple month contract. So in the midst of things, he drives across country. I'm in Florida. We have our house up for sale. We're like, I mean, there was so much going on. So I had this event that I was doing with somebody that was like a pretty high like influencer that was on a reality show. And we did this. So I had hit this rock bottom moment where like my husband was, at the time we didn't have separate accounts. I'm sorry, we didn't have the same bank account, and it just worked for us. It wasn't like we were keeping anything. It was just like, I had my account, he had his account. We worked together on things, whatever. And so he would like send money for like food. He'd be like, all right, like we, at that point we couldn't get caught up on the mortgage with what he was making. So he was like, all right, well, we got the lights, we got the electricity, you know, we got the food, we got the internet, so you could have the business stuff, all the things that we needed, the basic stuff. And they'd be like, all right, here's your money for groceries. And I have money for groceries, because we were living across country for the couple months that he was doing this. And so I literally had to like spend that grocery money on orders that I had already spent that money for like living expenses, or I was going to be screwed. And so he would send me that money, and I didn't tell him because I didn't want him to get mad, but I would literally like eat pasta because like, and that was it. Sometimes I would go to bed hungry because I was like, I need to pay for this. And later he found out and he was like, I cannot believe you went to bed hungry because of this. I'm like, you know me, like I'm going to make it work. So what happened was I had this opportunity to do like a live sale, because I had really good opportunity, really good success with doing live sales. And so I was like, you know what, let's do this. We were going to give a portion back to the Hurricane Harvey. This is when Hurricane Harvey happened. And so I was like, it's going to be a win-win. I'm going to give back, and then I'm also going to get some money. Yeah. So I literally didn't even have enough money to put gas in my car to drive 45 minutes down south. Like, I'm
and
not even.
And still, you want to give money to help others. Yeah. How freaking amazing is this woman right here?
Oh, thanks. So actually what happened was I had to tell my aunt at that time who lives in Florida where I lived, I need to borrow some money. And I never asked to borrow anything. And I had to tell her what happened. And she was like, what? Like, how are you composing yourself? And she wasn't happy about it. She wasn't happy like that I let it get to the situation. You're a smart girl. How could you guys let it get to this way? I'm going to help you. But like, it was not like she was like easy on me. So she fills my gas tank. I go down there and we sell nothing. We sell nothing.
Oh my God, no. Yeah.
And I literally cried like the whole way home. And I like had to pull over at one point because I couldn't even see. And I was like, I am such a failure. I'm really such a failure. Like I hit rock bottom. And at that point, I just was like, what am I doing with my life? And yeah. So that was really the point. So what ended up happening was we were like, so I bounced back. Obviously I had like a pity party that whole night for myself. And the big thing that I can say is I'm pretty good at bouncing back. I have to, because what else am I going to do? Like be on the street and feel bad for myself. Like there's no option. That's not an option in my mind. So I'm just like, I'm going to keep pushing. And so I ended up going to visit my husband, and it was hard. Like we actually had to borrow money from him, the mentor at the same time, so I could go out to see him. And because I had seen him in like 2 months, and it was crazy because we're really close. And so at that point I told him, I was like, I'm tired of having the house up for sale. Like, let's just keep it until they take it away from us. We'll stack money. We'll get another thing. Like, I'm literally like so stressed out about this. People are giving us lowball offers. We need a full price offer at this point to get back pay on, you know, paid back and to have a fresh start. Yeah. And so he's like, okay, so ended up talking to a realtor. She's like, well, you're going to have to pay me this amount if you get out of the contract. And I'm like, okay, well then here's the deal. We're not taking anything under a full price offer. And so she wasn't really happy about that, but I was like, all right, well, this is it. This is the full price offer. And so this is when we had this conversation. The next day we get a full price offer.
Ah, oh, there is a God.
Yes. Yes. We get a full price. I get chills whenever I say that story, but we get a full price offer. It's really crazy. Like when you just have, and she said, and then the plot thickens. What happens is basically she ends up saying, so they do the appraisal. The appraisal comes back for $7,000 less. She's like, you're going to have to take it. You're still making money. And I'm like, actually, we're not. We haven't been completely truthful with you. We're behind on our mortgage. We need to do all the stuff. She was not happy. And I was like, you're going to have to ask them to pay that extra $7,000 out of pocket. She's like, you're crazy. And I'm like, if they really want it, they'll do it. So we ended up signing cancellation paperwork. And then, because we had no choice, we had to pay. We needed money to like live somewhere. Yes. And so the next day she calls me and she's like, I don't know what you have going on, but obviously God is taking care of you. You got your full price offer. They're paying the $7,000 extra and all of that. So like everything just happened like so fast. She's like, the only caveat is you got to be out in 2 weeks. So like all this.
Oh my God, 2 weeks. That is. Yeah.
2 weeks. So that's like part of my journey. I forget like all the different stories I told. There's been a lot of things that have happened. So wow. It's just like the persistence and like push and keep pushing through. It's funny. We go on a walk every morning and I was talking to my husband the other day about it. I'm like, you know the stuff we've been through, some people would like be on the streets, like homeless, yes. You know? And I just refuse to like consider it a failure. There's times where I have like no money. In the past, I'm like, okay, I have like $50 to my name. All right, whatever. I'm just going to keep pushing. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you just can't let it stick in your head.
Oh yeah. I've been there, girl. I understand so much. And it's like, and here's the thing, you still had put like $20,000 aside.
Yeah.
So when people say like money's not important, but it's right up there with oxygen, especially when you start a business, it's like it's going to take more than you think. And not only is it going to take money, it's going to take grit, perseverance, giving back. Like, I think it's a beautiful lesson. Even when you needed the money so much, you were willing to give back. That is like the law of return and, you know, reaping what you're sowing and everything. So, okay. So fast forward to today. What are you doing now? What is your new business, your new venture? What is going on?
Okay. So yeah. So fast forward to now. So 2018 was the year of throwing a bunch of shit against, oh, can I cuss?
Yeah.
Okay. So
it's a millennial boss society.
So 2018 was like throwing a bunch of shit against the wall and trying to figure out what stuck. So I ended up closing my business. We ended up moving across country, just Scottsdale, Arizona. When we sold our house, we just kind of called it a reset move. So basically we needed to get away from anything comfortable. And that's what we did. So we didn't know anybody here. Actually, I had one friend from college here, but that was just ironic. And we moved here just to kind of have this fresh start. We majorly downsized from 2,400 square foot house to an 800 square foot apartment. Granted, and I still live in the apartment. Granted, it's like I have a rooftop. Like, if you follow me on Instagram, you'll see, I actually went for a swim earlier today. My place is beautiful, I have to say, but I definitely downsized on square footage for the time being, and just to kind of rebuild ourselves back up. And so I really didn't know what the next step looked like. It really honestly scared me. I held on to my business for as long as I possibly could until I sold all the inventory, but I couldn't afford to make anything else. And so I was like, I tried different things last year. What am I going to do? And I really wanted to do another product, but I really didn't think I could because you know how much money I spent on the other product brand. So I was like, oh, I don't have that kind of savings, to start. I don't have $20,000 in my account right now. And so I said, I just really want to build a conscious brand. And I've always been considered myself a conscious consumer. I'm really conscious of the foods that I eat, the skincare and all that kind of stuff. But I think even more with my journey, because I can't you have to make sacrifices along the journey. So for instance, before when I was working a 9-to-5 corporate America, six figures, if I wanted things online, I would online shop all the time. I took it for granted. I would buy things, wear them once, it didn't really matter. And then over the course of being an entrepreneur, that money really needed to go to other things, whether it was bills or going back into my business and et cetera. So I had different things that needed to be allocated. And so what ended up happening was I really started to look at how I was consuming things. And before I purchased things, and I would put them in shopping carts, virtual shopping carts. And then I would be like, all right, if I still like it in 2 or 3 weeks, I'll buy it. And it started to really start putting a perspective. And that's when I really got into the conscious consumption and not being wasteful and all that kind of stuff. And so I actually kind of fell across this opportunity through somebody that had connected me to somebody that had a bamboo straw brand out of Vietnam. And so long story short, I actually loved the concept, and we decided to, cause he really wanted to have US market, but over time we decided that he was my supplier and I have have my own brand here in the US. And so, so now my brand is called Carbon Conscious. We're an organic bamboo straw company, and we're starting with straws, but we're going to be expanding with additional conscious products along the way. I like to look at it as a sustainable lifestyle movement brand. And the great thing is about the straws, they're reusable. They last 1 to 2 years with proper care. They're organic, zero chemicals, no pesticides used ever. And at the end of their lifespan, they're 100% biodegradable. They naturally break back down. So yeah.
That is beautiful. And why would people, for example, I'm going to ask a really general question, but people don't think about that. Why would they buy bamboo straws instead of plastic straws?
Okay. So, as far as single use plastic straws, just a little bit of a statistic, over 500 million plastic straws are used in the US every single day, and 1 billion worldwide every single day.
Every day, a billion.
Every day. Every day. And so what's happening is they're not breaking back down into the earth, and they are also going into the oceans. And so it is estimated that if we don't start making change now, that by the year 2050, there'll be more plastic in the ocean than fish, which pollutes, get it. You saw a lot of people, I'm sure, have seen the picture the video with the turtle. And then with the straw in his nose that they had to pull out. And also plastic is really toxic. It's not something that is, all of us have plastic in our bodies, whether we'd like to admit it or not. It's just by contact, whether it be the plastic water bottles, and then some of that plastic seeps into the water, all these different things. And it affects things like hormones and health and all these things that we don't really even know about. So there's a lot of alternatives in the straw market now popping up, especially here in the US. And, but the one thing is, a lot of people there's cardboard being used, but all my clients now that have switched, because nobody likes cardboard, they get soggy. And I don't really know when trees didn't start mattering, because trees,
Talk about that? How crazy.
Yes. And then also metal ones. They're like really hard on your teeth. And the great thing about bamboo also is bamboo actually is in abundance. It grows up to 3 feet in one day.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Yeah.
And also the cool thing is the bamboo straws that I have are customizable. So if you have like a business or a special event and you want to order in bulk, like customizable laser engraved straws, it's a unique marketing opportunity as well.
What a fun idea if you're doing like an event or a launch or something and you want to show to people that your brand is conscious. Instead of having like a free drinks at the bar and everybody gets like a plastic straw, it's like you have your own little touch, and people, I'm guessing it's reusable too.
Yes. So every time somebody goes to reuse that straw, they're thinking about your brand because it's right in their face.
That is amazing. And so Jen has put together two things.
Hey, future Claudia here, editing this podcast. Okay, so I want to let you in on what is going on right now. So we recorded this episode a couple of weeks ago, Jennifer and I, and by then she had the Kickstarter going on, but this Kickstarter actually finished yesterday. So this is what we're going to do for you. She is going to put all of the stock that she has really currently right now on hand. It's going to be available on her website for a limited time. So what's happening is that once she runs out of everything she has to sell, she sells out, and that's it. So after that, she said that she's flipping her business into a wholesale business instead of retail. So if you just want a couple of pairs of straws for yourself or your friends, then you want to kind of like rush on carbonconscious.com before it sells out, because afterwards she's only going to take bulk orders. And quick disclaimer, I am not being compensated for any purchase that you do. This is simply because, you know, this podcast is really promoting entrepreneurs, and we want to help each other out. We want to showcase each other else's stories. So it's just doing something good for the environment and helping your fellow sister entrepreneur. Okay, so that's it. Let's go back to the show now.
She has put together a Kickstarter, and she has a little gift for you guys who are listening.
Yeah.
So when can people hear about your Kickstarter, first of all?
Okay, so the Kickstarter campaign, I'll actually send the link's a little bit long, but I'll send you the link to put in the show notes. Or you could go to carbonconscious.com. I actually have it. It's carbon with a K, conscious with a C, and you can find it through a link on my website as well. This is going to be up in 2 weeks. So regardless, I will still have the direct-to-consumer option available after. You can also go ahead and go to the Kickstarter campaign if you're listening to this before it ends in 2 weeks. And you can go ahead, if you put the code BOSSBABE, I have, you can put it in the like the notes section of the Kickstarter campaign, or if you are listening to this later when it's over, if you put it in with your order, then I'll add in two additional straws with your order as a compliment. Nice. Little gift for you guys.
That's amazing. Boss Babes, if you have an event, you might want to create a bulk order as well. That is a beautiful gift you can give your people that is reusable and conscious for the planet. Use the code BOSSBABE because Jen is kind enough to give you that. She's giving you two extra straws. So you guys, you have to take advantage of this. You gotta jump on it.
Yeah, you can give it to your other friends too. Like, and yeah, spread the consciousness. Because yeah. I think a lot of times people think like, I can't make a difference. Yes, you can. Because even if you, let's say you have a smoothie every single day at your house, and that's, you know, 365 smoothies if you're using a plastic straw, as opposed to using a reusable one.
Wow, you guys. All of you health babes on the Instagram, I want to see your carbon conscious straws now. Yeah. So this is amazing. Thank you so much, Jennifer. You have been a gift for this podcast. This is beautiful. You guys, how can they see you on Instagram? Because you mentioned a lot of stories. How can they follow you on Instagram?
Okay, so first off, I have two Instagrams, my business one and my personal one, which I kind of intermingle sometimes, but you can find my personal one at I am Jen Gallagher. And then the business one is at Carbon Conscious, Carbon with a K, Conscious with a C, on Instagram. Also the same on Facebook. I'm trying to get a little more interactive on Facebook. I mean, if you comment, I'll respond, but I'm just saying I'm trying to get more present on Facebook, but I do hang out the most on Instagram. So that's, you can always send me DMs with questions. I respond to every single person that sends me a DM or writes a comment. So yeah, I'm definitely love connecting with everybody.
Love that. This is amazing. Thank you so much, Jen. And we'll put all of the links in the show notes. It'll be available on the Millennial Boss Society website as well. But don't worry, you guys will have all the links and you'll be able to grab that coupon code for you guys. So thank you so much, Jen.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. This was amazing. If you enjoyed this episode, please do us a favor and take a little screenshot of it. Send it to either my personal Instagram, Claudia Contois, so CLAUDIACOMTOIS, or at Millennial Boss Society. We also have a new Instagram. Yay! Okay, so we love to receive your comments, your reviews. It really helps us. Once again, thank you for sharing this episode with your girlfriends and your boyfriends. We love you so much and see you in the next one.